time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, that's me, for sure. And how are you all doing today? Hopefully, you're thawed out after a cold night. And how many layers of clothing did you have to put on to come out this morning? Did you watch TV? They'll tell you how many layers you needed. Well, anyhow, Route 23 is now open. It's been open now for an hour or so, Route 23. There was an accident this morning at Barks Road and 420. Okay, we have a caller. Good morning.
Back to the pumpkin pie?
Yes.
Yeah, well, let's see. Now, I'm getting this from the History Channel.
Yes.
And it's got various citations, so I would say it's probably fairly accurate and not a bunch of baloney. Would that have been something if they had G&R grill bologna sandwiches at the first Thanksgiving?
Wouldn't that? Yes, I've been seeing one of the television stations in Columbus or network mentions the G&R.
I vaguely remember seeing something.
Yeah,
like
recently.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Yes.
The Pilgrims, a member of the Indian tribe, they ate pumpkins and other squashes. But the colony didn't have the butter or the wheat flour for making pie crust. And the settlers had not constructed an oven for baking. So according to some accounts, the settlers in North America improvised by hollowing out pumpkins, filling the shells with milk, honey, and spices to make a custard, then roasting the gourds whole in hot ashes.
Wow. That'd be something.
You think about mashed potatoes or sweet potatoes for Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
They had no place at the first Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Well, they know. They wouldn't have known. I was Plymouth Plantation, and I can see what it was like a year or so after they landed.
Yeah, it said after encountering its native South America, the Spanish began introducing the potato to Europeans around 1570. But by the time the Pilgrims boarded the Mayflower, the tuber had neither doubled back to North America nor become popular enough with the English to hitch a ride.
Wow.
So they had other plant roots, like they call them Indian turnips and ground nuts.
Yeah.
Which they may or may not have brought to the party. But here's something that a lot of people don't really think about. It says, who attended the first Thanksgiving? After the first Thanksgiving, colonists were likely outnumbered more than 2-1 by their Native American guests.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And there's an author, Winslow, writes, quote, many of the Indians coming among us and amongst the rest of their greatest King Massasoit with some 90 men. And apparently the preceding winter had been a harsh one for the colonists. 78% of the women who had traveled on the Mayflower had perished that winter, leaving only around 50 colonists to attend the first Thanksgiving.
Boy, they must have worked those women to death, cooking.
Well, the harsh winter, yeah. And according to eyewitness accounts, among the pilgrims, there were 22 men, just 4 women, and over 25 children and teenagers.
Wow.
So talk about rough.
Hey, you betcha.
But citation information is from First Thanksgiving Meal, the History Channel, History Channel editors, et cetera, et cetera. But I sent you a link to that, so you'll have it when you get home to your email.
Very good, yes. Great deal.
So, hey, you know, they don't make tough people today like they did back then.
Boy, you said it. Ooh, wow.
Yep.
Yep.
We're all too wimpy.
Yeah.
So anyways, hey, that's an account from the History Channel. If anybody wants to look it up and learn a little bit about as close as probably what we will ever get to what actually occurred.
Then you probably know what famous Marianite was at the 400th anniversary. 400? 300? 400? I think the 400th anniversary of landing at Plymouth.
What famous Marianite?
Yes. He was there after, you know.
Alfred E. Newman?
No.
No?
No. He made such a splash when he got there, they gave him a copy of the Mayflower.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't have a clue. I'm blank.
Well, I think...
Charlie Evers?
Not quite. I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been there and
Charlton Myers.
He might have been. But I asked the lady librarian there at Plymouth Colony, and I've told this story many times. I said, "Now what about these tall hats with a belt buckle on them?" She laughed. She said, "There was nothing like that. That was somebody's imagination." And she named a man who came up with that belt buckle deal on a hat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's like I learned something new. I had always heard that bourbon came from Bourbon County in Kentucky.
Yes.
There's no such county in Kentucky.
No kidding.
Friends of mine took the bourbon tour from around Lexington, Kentucky, and they went to these various distilleries. And one of the things is, here's a map of Kentucky. Here are the counties. Find Bourbon County, wherever that came from. You know, we citizens of the United States have been bamboozled by the black magic of these unethical marketing people, you know?
Well, sure, yeah.
Yep.
That's why they're marketing people.
Yeah, well, you know, they're... As one marketing person put it one time, and he was a very famous guy, he billed himself as liar for hire.
Oh, okay.
At least, you know, at least he knew what he was, and he told people what he was. So,
yeah. Well, yep. It's interesting, too, in the obituaries today in the Star, John Badenhop is listed. Mm-hmm. John was a good friend of mine. He was also a time salesman for radio.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also a weatherman on Channel 68 in Mansfield years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
He was everything. And he was so well known in radio that that's how I knew him. My land.
Mm-hmm.
He was everything in Galleon at his church, too. So quite a guy. He was only he was a lot younger than me.
He was, what, he like 79 or something?
Somewhere in there in the 70s, maybe.
Yeah.
If that much.
And if I remember that article in today's paper, he was in the Army and then the Air Force?
Yes, he was
or
in the
Navy and the Air Force?
He was, right, he was in the Navy and also the Ohio
Air Force.
Air Force.
Ohio National, Air National
Air
Guard.
Air National Guard, yes.
Yeah. Quite an individual.
Yeah, he was... He was a good friend and you know, a good person, really.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you can't always say that about people that sell time in radio.
That's true. You know, they would sell their mother's souls for a little commish.
Yeah. You know? There was one guy in radio. I know he's not listening. John, I worked with him at WDIF. And he could have sold Eskimos, you know, the proverbial icebox.
Eskimo pie?
Yeah. he was, and he was fun to be around. I mean, but we used to
really swung the bovine dirt, huh?
Once a week, we would gather with him and some other staff members and plan on what we were going to feature the following week in News Life. We were always a week or two ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, those were the days.
Yep.
And I was also the editor of a senior citizen magazine at that time. And it didn't last too long because it was a hard sell. People didn't.
Well, I would imagine the majority of readership became limited and limited as time went on.
Well, that's right. But, you know, we had to go through the steps when you market a new paper or whatever. The I can't remember the name of the bureau comes, and
the audit bureau.
Yeah, and they even hide in bushes to watch and make sure whatever you're trying to sell was actually delivered.
Yeah, there's something Bureau of Circulation.
Yes,
audit
right.
Bureau of Circulation,
right.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, we always had problems too getting a good, decent people to deliver News Life because more than once we found a bundle of News Lives laying in the ditch, and the men came back, "I want my money for delivering the paper."
Yep, well, typical miscreants of Marion.
Well, that's, yeah, you weren't paying them much, and that's why you got what you got.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep. Well, I can remember helping couple friends deliver newspapers after school, stuffing them, folding them, and delivering them.
Yeah, we had a garage out in back behind DIF where we stuffed News Life with advertisements. We had a truck come in, and the truck delivered all the inserts. And I'll never forget, the truck rolled in, and I was outside, and they said, "Hey, Evers, help us get these inserts out of here." They handed me a whole crate of them, and I almost fell over. I mean, I couldn't hold them.
People don't realize the kind of advertising on the slick paper.
Yes.
Those babies are heavy.
And so we would start at one end of the feeder and put these inserts in there, and they'd travel across, and a flapper would open up and up and down as the inserts went in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. Now, I suppose there's a better system. I don't know.
Well, the papers are much smaller, so...
Yeah.
I would imagine a much more automated.
Yeah, probably so. But even at that, every now and then, the thing would slip, and we would put maybe an extra copy of one advertisement in. And now, in the Marion Star, I found as many as 7 inserts of the same breed.
Well, you know, a lot of those advertisements that you get the beginning of the month or the middle, whatever, they sometimes you get 3, 4, 5, or 6 inserts in them that the post office delivers to your mailbox.
Yes, yes. It's an interesting world out there, the world of print and radio and TV.
And automation.
Yes.
And the people who program the automation.
And, yes, and how much automation the internet and all this has happened since, well, in the last 20 years. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep. Oh, well, hey, as Linda Ellerbee would say, and so it goes.
Yes, that's for sure. There it went.
So,
yeah.
Let me get out of here. Brief. You're coming up on another break.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, in about 30 seconds. Very good.
In.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. All right, that was Terry Klein. I appreciate that information. Route 23 or 423 opened a while ago, about an hour ago, so you don't have to worry about that. There was an accident really early on at 423 and Barks Road. 11:30 is coming up on now, about 13 seconds. Count them. 10, 9, 8. We'll be back in a moment.
Stay tuned to WWGH.
From NBC News, this is Today with Matt Lauer and Meredith Vieira.
Wow, that was a special morning doing the opening for the Today Show in 2011.
Yes, but you know what? There was a downside.
What was that?
Having to share a dressing room with Willard Scott. Smucker jars everywhere.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again, and we got about a half hour to go. And don't forget, tomorrow, being Thursday, at 12:15, you'll find Swap Shop at Glenn Coble. Don't forget that. Now, if you have anything to sell, make sure you make use of, make use of the time, because, you know, we could use that time for other things if we didn't get a good response. But so sell your items on Swap Shop at Glenn Coble, 12:15 every Thursday afternoon. All right, now, going back to what year did the Pilgrims land? What year, I tell you what, it was 1620. And now, you tell me. There is something denoting the 1620 that has something special. I tell you what, there is the Plymouth Rock, the very famous Plymouth Rock, and they built a covering for it to protect it, but it didn't work. Plymouth Rock is not all what it used to be. You tell me what's different about Plymouth Rock. You know, Plymouth Rock, that I don't know if when the Pilgrims landed, if they hit the rock or if the rock was sticking partially out of the water. I have no idea how Plymouth Rock came about, but it did come about and was highly respected for years. In fact, it still is. If you go there, you'll see Plymouth Rock. But not like you would have noticed it originally. Now, why? There's a good question. 740-383-9944. Maybe you could bring it up a picture of it on the internet and see what I mean about there's something different about the Plymouth Rock than there used to be. What would it be? Now, the famous Marianite that was there, let's see, they landed in, 1620? Okay, and 1920... would be, 300 years. Yeah. 1920. Does that ring a bell? Mm-hmm. The famous Marianite, 1920. In fact, it was 1921 when this famous Marianite got there for the celebration. I'm pretty sure. Maybe it was, because he was surrounded by battleships. Taken him there. Now, who other than a president would be surrounded by battleships going somewhere? Yes, you're right. It was Warren Gamaliel Harding. He was there for the 300th anniversary of the landing of Pilgrims at Plymouth Landing. They liked the president so much, because he did give a speech there, and I've got a copy of it, that they gave him a copy of the Mayflower. Oh, it was finely crafted. It's still, if you were ever in the Harding home, you saw it in the library of the president. You saw the ship there. Now, for years, I wondered, what on earth was that ship for? Then it dawned on me when I read about him being in Plymouth Rock and so forth. Yeah, that was a copy of the Mayflower. And I suppose they'll still display it in the new museum over there, at least. Okay, now, let me see if I have anything else to ask you. Yes, there was, something that took place recently. Let me see if I can find it here. Well, no, there was a, well, I doubt if any of you can answer this. There was an airplane that was invented. It wasn't just this year. It's been flowing for quite a while under more secrecy than if it was a government plane, because it's destined to carry people, not into space, but, you know, to carry people, period. Now, what's the name of that airplane? Figure that one out. Boy, now if you can get that one, I'll give you whatever you like here. Tickets to the zoo, coffee cups from Jegs, a t-shirt from Jegs. Okay, what's the name of that plane? And it's been around now for over a year, secretly flying, and they found, hey, it works just great, that eventually it will be taking passengers. But I don't know if on long trips or short trips or whatever, but it's been tested. Okay, now, there was also something that happened just a couple of days ago that has astronomers worried. Did I mention this before on the air today? Yes, it's got astronomers worried. Something that was sent into space a couple of days ago. What is it, or what was it? And whatever it was is still there and will stay there. Now, figure that one out. 7403-39944. What did we send into space? A private company, that is. 60. I could tell you, I don't want to give you the whole answer here. But it kind of made a short-range outer space quite visible. And it's got astronomers worried. Now, what on earth would that have been? That a company, a private company, launched 60 of these things into the lower outer space that has astronomers worried. 11:37 and a half is the time. Figure that one out. Or tell me the name of that plane that's been secretly flying. And now I think they're ready to divulge it in all its goodness to the people. What was its name? It's been on the internet. It's pictured on Facebook. All right. Now we found out, too, that a cuckoo is a bird that's also a roadrunner bird. And also, it's a bird that can lay eggs in another bird's nest. Okay. Now, a male turkey has four different things that you could give me the answer to. One, two, three, four. Yes, four things. Now, I'll give you the answer to one. A snood. Now, James Anderson's been on here and talking about snoods. You might run into somebody you don't like and say, boy, there's a snood. But a male turkey has a snood. How about that? Yeah, a male turkey has a snood. It also has a couple of other things. If you can say, give me a couple of other things besides the snood, I'll give you tickets to the zoo. Okay, now let me see. What else can I ask? A private company sent 60 things into space the other day and has astronomers worried. And then another question is, there was a plane that's been under a study. It's been flying for, I think, 2 years now, but very secretly. And if you can give me the name of that plane, you'll be a winner today. Okay. Or if you can tell me what other things beside a snood that a turkey has. Okay. And what year did the Pilgrims land in Plymouth, Massachusetts? Now, they, like I said, they're in Plymouth, the men didn't go around wearing those hats with a tall peak on them with a belt around them. That's only for school kids to come up with out of school paper, make little hats with belt buckles on them. 743-399-44. So, do you know what a snood is? Okay, male turkeys have a snood. They also have one, two, three other things that you could tell me about. And what are they? But you won't find these on a turkey in the... Now, wait a minute. What do they do with the female turkeys? Like our one listener said, they're called a Jenny. So we have Tom and Jenny. The Jennies are the one you eat. The Toms are the one that... What do they do with a Tom turkey? Now, there's a good question. If you grow turkeys, and they're big, there is a big turkey farm north of New Haven on Route 61, which is just south of Norwalk, Ohio. It's the Albright Turkey Farm, and they've got turkeys galore. How do they keep from raising male turkeys, which people don't eat? They're too tough. The ones with the snood. What other things does a male turkey have that quite visible when they get excited? Anyone out there? I can see a couple of people scratching their head. I wanted to mention again, too, how much we miss Mrs. Haas that called every day, and because she knew Marion like I did, and I really have appreciated her and her obituaries in the paper today. In fact, she'll be, I think the funeral, or she'll be on display at least at the Prospect Street United Methodist Church. I think the Denzer Funeral Home is doing, you know, the funeral. Okay, Mrs. Haas. And let me see, what else can I ask you today? The year the pilgrims landed, and what three things does a turkey have other than the snood, the Tom turkey, or what do they do with female turkeys? Mm-hmm. Now, here, you probably, and I've talked about this before, there was a family in Marion that could sex chickens. They had a system, a secret system they used to tell the sex of a chicken. And you might say, well, why would you want to find out what sex a chicken is? Well, for the same reason, I suppose, you have hen turkeys and female chicken, hen turkeys and Jenny turkeys. And whatever. But the male turkey, where did the male turkeys go? It's like the male chickens. Why were they sexed? Well, let me tell you. It's not all what you like to hear, of course. The male chickens, when they were found out, were excommunicated, you might say. So they wanted to get rid of the male because only hens are purchased to eat. And yeah, is that discrimination? Like in a Tom turkey, where would you go to buy a Tom turkey today? Not where you'd buy a hen turkey, that's for sure. So there may not be very many Tom turkeys around. And if there are, maybe they're pets. Now, the Tom turkeys I knew, or one, belonged to some friends of my wife. In fact, they're her cousin. And it chased me around. This was in Indiana. It didn't like me because maybe I said, hey, look at that snood. Oh, here we go. All right. Caller, go ahead.
Hi, Charlie. Did you ever get your answer about the snood?
Well, I know what a snood is, but there are several other items on a turkey.
Oh.
A tom turkey.
I thought you were asking, what is the snood?
Well, what is the snood?
That's well, I looked it up. I think it's that, like, gobbler thing.
Hey, Scott,
that
I bet you could not guess what my favorite type of animal is.
Cats?
No, dogs. Now, can you guess what my favorite type of dog is?
Black lab.
No, golden retriever. Was there any doubt?
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again. Caller, you still there? Hello? Okay, well, call me back. Okay. The lady with the snood, with the information on the snood. Yeah, James Anderson, if he's listening, he's probably laughing. Oh, yes, a tom turkey has a not only a snood, but he has a wattle. I'll give you that much. A wattle. My guinea hens all had wattles. They were the ugliest bird you... Well, can I... I have a lot of new listeners, I suppose. Let me tell you. A guinea hen is the most ugly little bird that you could... Or chicken-like. They were black and white, but their feathers are so interesting that I've seen earrings made out of the feathers from a guinea hen. The feathers are short, and they have white dots on them on a black background, and that's the sign of a guinea hen. A guinea hen is also noted for its meat. Now, I don't know if there are male guinea hens, but I know there are male guinea hens, and there are females. I suppose, again, that the female guinea hen is the one that is served in restaurants for a price as pheasant under glass. Pheasant under glass is a guinea hen. That's right. And I used to raise them. I had more guineas than Carter had liver pills. Oh, my goodness. I had a neighbor who passed away a few years ago. He always thought my guineas were raiding his garden, eating his vegetables. Actually, they were eating the bugs off of his vegetables. And I'll never forget, his name was Gatchell. You knew Mr. Gatchell in Clarendon. He had to devise a long cane pole with a white flag on the end of it. And he would walk up and down his garden, chasing my guinea hens away with his cane pole and a white flag on the other end. And I'll never forget that. Oh, and Mr. Gatchell was also he raised bees. I wish he was still around, because we need bees badly. And he used to deal with what's her name, that she passed away. She was a great naturalist. In fact, I carried her ashes to be buried along with what's his name? We buried her ashes. He had a receptacle carved with a walnut on the front, I think, yeah. And, well, anyhow, she dealt with him in bees, and she would buy queen bees from Mr. Gatchell. And every now and then, she didn't like the bee that he sold her as a queen, so she called him Skinflint Gatchell. I'll never forget that. Of course, they're both dead now, so there's no repercussion. Skinflint Gatchell and some of his relatives are still living, but it was something to laugh about. Skinflint Gatchell and his bug-collecting cane pole with a white flag. All right.
Where was the name of the airplane, the Revolutionary War new airplane that's been flying undercover, more or less? If you can give me its name, it's on the internet, it's on Facebook. Or can you tell me, let me see, what was launched that's into the sky? 60 things launched recently that's got astronomers pulling their hair out, even. Hey, you're crowding the sky with these things. And what are those things? What did they launch 60 of? 11:50 is the time. 7:40 through. Where is everybody today? Are you still sitting in front of your toaster warming up? Oh, my goodness. Yes, it was a cold night. Kind of a record-breaking night. Well, records are made to be broken. How can you break a record without having a record? Uh-huh, see? How can you break a record if you don't have a record to begin with? Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? That's the first thing this morning that's made sense. Yeah. Records are made to be broken. Okay, we found out seafood in a turkey dressing is the addition of oysters. Oh, man. And let me see that. Oh, I still haven't had the year that the Pilgrims landed. Or what is different about Plymouth Rock? Now, Plymouth Rock is engraved with the year they landed. You know, I can just picture a guy knee-deep out in the ocean carving the date of the landing of the Pilgrims. Now, I doubt if he carved that within a few years after they landed. It was, you know, they probably didn't have the strength. They didn't have enough food to eat at that time. And besides that, there were Indians all around. Oh, there were Indians here, there, and everywhere. But not all of them were unfriendly, but some would say, hey, big white man come and disrupt our lives. You need a prize?
I do.
Okay.
Let's see here.
Yeah, there they are.
There we go.
The zoo tickets?
I'm not sure. Let's see here.
Or Jags?
Zoo.
Oh, okay. You know what do two zoo tickets are? Kazoos.
Kazoos.
Yes, kazoos. Okay. Oh, my. Yeah. Anybody else out there this morning? 7:40. Anybody like to pass along anything? Did your pipes freeze up? I hope not. Oh, that's terrible when a pipe freezes. And going back to 1976, I was talking about earlier, the ground was frozen 51 inches deep. Now, you take 51 inches, how many? That's 4 feet. 4 feet, 3 inches. And a lot of pipes froze underground. Oh, what a terrible time that was. 1976, let's hope we... And you'd have to look at the days before. Well, one of these days, I'll bring in the official record to show you about that year of 1976, I think it was in January, would almost have to be in January, that we never got above zero for days, days and days. And we were warned not to shovel the snow from our sidewalks, and if we did, it would allow the freeze to go even deeper. Pipes are freezing everywhere all over town. Remember that? How many of you had frozen pipes in 1976? And that was the year that we had to install a septic tank in Clarendon. And we couldn't dig down through the soil. Warney Zachman was my digger man. And he just scraped a little off the ground. Then we'd build a fire on it. And finally, we got down to where we could you could actually put a septic tank in, but it was just too cold, and, you know, it wasn't feasible to do it then. So we waited until spring, and it was very interesting. 11:54 is the time. Oh, my. And well, you know, that's what you face when you move to the country. You know, the country scene is so nice and tranquil. You know, the sun sets over the trees and the wheat and the corn and the soybeans growing and just and the people, the friendly people you find in the country. And then suddenly you realize, at least years ago, that you had to supply your own water and your own sewage disposal, because the original method was illegal, you might say, and out of date, and not very efficient, that's for sure. In fact, my neighbor across the street, Bob, the manager of the airport, came over. He used to plow my field, and because we had people that grew vegetables there, he said, I plowed right where your septic tank was, and not knowing it was there. It was a couple of feet underground, and all it was a brick box with a separator in it. And I would suppose there are still a lot of homes out in the country with a similar system. And now instead of a $5,000 septic tank, they run probably $15,000. Yeah, that's moving to the country. Make sure, if you're going to move to the country, that you know what's at hand, whether your water is good or whether you get city water or Delco water. Delco I have, and that's just the greatest. And, you know, our water bill runs $12 to $13 a month. That's right, $12 to $13 a month. 11:56 is the time. Of course, we're not washing our car either. Okay. All right, now, what was sent into the atmosphere, 60 of them, that astronomers are worried about? Okay, now, I bet if I had some food to give away, you'd call. But I've got tickets to the Columbus Zoo. Do I have anything else other than, let me see here. This gift card is for Nate's show, okay. All right, don't forget tomorrow, 12:15, Swap Shop with Glenn Coble. And if you got some things, some furniture and some other items that you no longer need or want, or maybe you bought new, give Glenn a call tomorrow at 12:15, Swap Shop. Do you know who the original Swap Shop lady was? I bet you don't. I think she passed away some time ago. But the man that she used to date was the father of the man who has San Soda Italian Restaurant. Okay. Maxine Field was her name. Maxine was employed. She was in the bookkeeping department or some department, you know, where she did a lot of typing and everything. And she was selected to do Swap Shop. And it was about 1:15 in the afternoon, something like that. Because we had Around the Town with Madge and Marge before that. Swap Shop, yeah, that's what it was called. About 50 years ago. 11:58 is the time already. My goodness. Okay, let me give you some answers here. A tom turkey has caruncles. That's C-A-R-U-N-C-L-E-S, caruncles. A male turkey has a snood and a wattle and a beard. Now, you know where the beard is. Yes, the beard is quite prominent in a male turkey. And the caruncles in the same way, and snood and wattle. Snood and wattle, oh my goodness. Okay, and of course I had to answer the cuckoo clock, the roadrunner. And the new airplane has been flying secretly for 2 years, and now they're ready to really get on with it, is a Celera 500L. Celera, C-E-L-E-R-A, Celera 500L. You watch for that in the news. And a private company sent 60 satellites into the atmosphere to provide internet for the entire globe. The entire world could have internet with these 60 satellites. And astronomers saying, hey, when we look at the sky with our telescopes, all we're going to see is satellites. Well, what that could be. I don't know. But right now, it's time to go. It's coming up on noon Eastern Standard Time. Hope you thaw out nicely. It is going to get up higher today and be rather nice, snowless for the next few days. Great deal.
You're listening to WWGH Radio, LP, Marion, Ohio. Anyway, I'm going to give it now, 740-383-9944. We're doing current events, and we're going to fly through them here. If you want to join in at any time on any current event, any memory, anything you want to throw on the table,